Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome to Huff Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Haley Bird Welt.
And we're kicking off 2024 on a light note. We're going to talk in this episode about some of our favorite things in the Star Wars universe. Every Star Wars fan has a top five list or top 10 list of their favorite this or their favorite that. And as we get started here in the new year, we're going to talk about our five favorite various things and use that as kind of an entryway into talking about our favorite parts of Star Wars overall, because I think this will be a big year for Star Wars, and this will be a nice way of kind of setting the tone as we look ahead to what's coming in movies and TV and books and everything else. So we're doing top fives in this episode, and I'll use moderator's privilege, I guess, to go first. And I picked an easy top five, a very generic top five. Mine is the top five moments in Star Wars. So the top five individual moments throughout the saga, TV, movies, everything's on the table. And I think this is a good list. I'd love to hear what you think. And I think you'll probably see a little bit of my particular Star Wars interest in this list. But for me, the top five have to be number five, Luthen's speech about sacrifice in episode 10 of Andor. Number four, Luke watching the binary sunset in A New Hope. I think that is a beautiful moment of kind of yearning for something bigger, which is kind of what kicks off the whole story. And it's also a very relatable kind of universal feeling about a person who's living what they think is kind of a humdrum life, you know, wanting excitement. Number three is Rey catching Luke's lightsaber in The Force Awakens. This has always been one of my favorite moments ever since it happened, because it's dramatic in the moment, but it's also a symbol of kind of turning the page in Star Wars, passing the baton, bringing in a new generation, redefining what a Jedi can be, what a Jedi can look like. And I think that, to me, a large part of Star Wars is constant reinvention and constant reimagining and giving people hope and inspiration that that person looks like me finally, and that person is a Jedi, and so maybe I can be what it means to be a Jedi. So I love that moment. Number two, Padme in Revenge of the Sith saying, "So this is how liberty dies." That's one of the ones that people would probably be able to guess for me, because I love the politics of Star Wars. And that encapsulates, I think, George Lucas's entire goal with the prequels. It's not just setting up the originals. It's telling a story all on its own about the dangers of authoritarianism and how people can usher in a fascist regime in a way that doesn't necessarily look like how the dystopian movies portray it. People can welcome a dictator with applause. And in fact, we've seen that throughout history. And she, Padme, kind of alone really seems to realize that, and that heartbreaking moment of her understanding what has just happened, it's beautifully portrayed, and it hits at the core of what the prequels are all about. And then number one, for me, the best moment in Star Wars, most satisfying, most poignant, is Luke throwing away his lightsaber in Return of the Jedi. This is not an original idea. This gets cited all the time, but at the core of what Star Wars is, it is rising above temptation. It is sacrifice in the face of adversity. It is hope and belief in familial connections. And it is defiance in the face of overwhelming odds. And all of that, as well as I'm sure I could think of several other things, is packed into that moment there with Luke saying, "I'm a Jedi like my father before me. I will not fight you. I will not fight my father." That's a turning point for Luke, obviously, in terms of his maturity as a human and as a Jedi. And it's also a turning point for the story, because it unlocks in Vader's mind the idea that actually he's on the wrong side. And so to me, that's just an incredible moment. And that's my number one moment. I would love to hear what the two of you think now. What would your top five moments be? And I realize that I'm kind of putting you in a bind going first here, because your top five lists could, you know, cross over with moments. So I'm going to be really mean. I'm going to say, if possible, don't list anything from your lists as a top moment. But if you absolutely have to, I guess go ahead.
What about pod racing, Eric?
Yeah, come on, Eric. Pod racing. What about Sebulba?
I do love Ben Quadaneros. I love the way that he flames out. It's a beautiful moment of, again, defiance in the face of overwhelming odds. But it just didn't make the top five. It's probably in the top 10, though, maybe.
Wait, what about Death Sticks? You want to buy some death sticks?
That's actually a really important part of George Lucas's anti-drug messaging. And so I do sure think is. That that's in the top 10.
War on drugs. Star War on drugs. So I think this is a pretty solid list. I agree with you that Luke throwing away his lightsaber is very much a thesis statement for Star Wars as a whole. Something that I find interesting about your list is this kind of balance of darker moments with hope, which I think says a lot about you, Eric, and sort of how you see the world and what you find interesting. And so in doing this, we have inadvertently gotten a glimpse into Eric's psyche here, I think. I love the binary sunset. That's definitely one of my top moments. Also love the throwing away of the lightsaber. If I were going to add moments, probably one of the moments that I would add would be Leia in, gosh, now I'm going to forget. Oh, yeah. So it's Leia in Return of the Jedi. And it's a flipping on the head of I love you and I know, because in episode 5, Leia says, I love you. And Han says, I know. And then he goes into carbonite. And it's a great, wonderful, moving moment. But my preferred moment of the two is actually in Return of the Jedi, when Leia does something super cool. And Han is like, I love you. And Leia says, I know, but in a really fun, winking way, which is just a very small moment, but I think is kind of a fun example of a subversion of that sort of trope that was established in the previous movie. And actually, you know, everything Leia does is iconic. So I overall think this is a good list, but you didn't have enough Leia on it, TBH.
That's fair. Yeah.
My response, Eric, is that yours is intellectually correct. So I'm going to take like another path here and give like, if I were a child, like when I was watching Star Wars to begin with, what were my top 5 moments? And I'm probably not going to be able to think of 5, but number 1 would probably be when they're in the Colosseum and Padme is like wearing this outfit.
Yes.
That I found like the coolest outfit in the whole world. Yes, that is probably my number 1 in all of Star Wars. I always look forward
to it as
a small child.
You're so right, Haley.
I am
You're
right.
You're so correct.
Yes. And then if I were going to be an adult, I would choose another Andor scene when they're all escaping from the concentration prison camp.
Yeah, One Way Out.
It was so good. So well written. And I think the episode before that, too, when there's just like the rising tension of like, what are they doing to the prisoners? I thought was so well written. Like the rumors are like passing through, like, you know, when they're stuck in the hallway, to choose one moment from that episode, and they're like talking to the other prisoners as they're walking through and they're like sharing the gossip. Like, I just thought that was so perfectly paced. My other one from the child angle, Endor with the forest, and they're on the like the floating motorcycles. Yes, that's one of my top 5.
Man. Haley, you are so right to think of it from that perspective, because as previously discussed in this very pod, my gateway to Star Wars was hilariously Attack of the Clones, and nothing will ever beat like the sheer joy of the arena scene in Attack of the Clones, both with them doing gladiatorial combat. Well, first with the romance love confession between Anakin and Padme, which when I was 12, I thought was so romantic. And now I'm like, red flag city. But at the time, incredible. The gladiatorial fights, then all the Jedi showing up and they're doing all the battle. That was a great pick.
Oh, wait. Something else has like lived rent free in my head since I saw it.
The bread.
Yes! The most important scene in Star Wars is the bread in The Force Awakens, when Rey like dumps her little quarter portion in with the water and it just rises up so beautifully.
Okay, if we had to pick four other, like if we wanted to do an impromptu top five Star Wars food moments, that would be on there, of course. It's food wizardry. What would be the other four?
I mean, I just like, I was really shook when they were drinking those drinks with like little like worms in them in Andor. Just because when you watch it, you're like, what? Like, what is that? And like, why do they like it? So that's probably in my top five. I'm trying to remember other Star Wars bread. It's just the effect of, I mean, other Star Wars foods. It's just the effect of the bread is so, so important to my psyche.
The desert salmon in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. I did, not to get off food, but I did think of another iconic moment in Star Wars that I can't believe I forgot. But I really do love Leia killing Jabba the Hutt, too. Yeah. I think that is a very iconic moment and a great example of a woman seizing back her agency. And I think it's extra poignant when you think about how her father was, although, you know, she probably doesn't know this, but her father, Anakin, was enslaved because of the Hutts, and then she ends up killing him. And that's pretty, like, a pretty dope full circle moment. Do I wish that the golden bikini and sexual objectification were not a thing? Yes, but I also understand, you know, it was 1983 and...
It's what the people wanted.
Well, that was actually my question for you about the Padme the outfit in the arena scene is, like, at what point did you think about it in the context of, like, oh, like, there's a reason that they have the animal, like, slash half of that shirt off.
Yeah.
Like, was that immediately for you part of it?
I was just a little girl, and I was like, oh, she looks so cool. I had no concept of, like, objectification. I just wanted to be her when I grew up. And so that was my view of that. And when I say the outfit, I mean the midriff part,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the midriff part was very important.
Very important.
Interesting.
One more moment, and you can tell I'm a Force Awakens girly. This is totally dependent on the music, but I think Rey's theme is one of the best songs in all of Star Wars. And I love when she's rappelling down that, like, just the atmosphere inside the ship, like the abandoned ship that she's like scavenging in. And it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like my favorite. It's so good.
I've said this before, and I continue to hold to this belief. I think that might be even better exposition, introducing a character and telling you who they are, than Luke. I think that is definitely on par with and possibly even better than Luke. Binary Sunset is hard to top, but that whole sequence of meeting her and understanding who she is up through, like we've talked about before, sitting outside the AT-AT, like looking up at the ship flying away and like chewing, just the way that Daisy Ridley chews and has that kind of whimsy and hope, like that is like just pound for pound one of the best sequences that has ever occurred in Star Wars.
It's the Star Wars movie I've watched the most. I feel like I haven't memorized.
I do have to say, you brought up music, and that made me also think of the cantina scene, which, like, honestly, I think is a very iconic moment in Star Wars because it's the first moment where you really see aliens and you are in this crazy, gritty place. And thinking about sitting down in the theater in 1977, I feel like the cantina scene is really the scene where you're like, whoa, this is a fun alien story, as well as like a coming of age story and some kind of weird war story. I think that the cantina scene just really sets up the exotic elements of Star Wars and in one of the most fun ways. You get to see a bunch of fun aliens and you have one of the most earwormy songs of all time playing in the background.
It's interesting none of us have mentioned the Anakin Obi-Wan showdown with the lava.
Well, we'll get there, but I mean there's a reason for that. But I will say I tried to avoid just doing the most iconic Star Wars moments. I think the cantina, like that moment when they cut to the bar and an alien kind of pops up into the frame.
Yes.
Like that is, if you ask a regular person about Star Wars, one of the images they have in their head is probably I Am Your Father. But the next one is probably the introduction to the cantina for the reasons that you said, Grace. It is one of the most closely associated moments with the idea of Star Wars and what made Star Wars unique. It was that idea of this is a lived in world. Nobody is like turning their head at the idea of aliens. This is just the world. The aliens are just there. They're at the bar. This is after work. They're getting a drink. That I think is definitely a top five iconic Star Wars moment. And I tried to do like what is like most connected to the essence of the story of Star Wars. But I think if you're looking at Star Wars as an entertainment product in the real world, that's got to be in the top five of like iconic moments.
Well, since Haley brought up Obi-Wan,
sorry guys,
and Anakin,
I hadn't read ahead in the show.
No, that's okay. This is a great segue. You totally meant to do that. So my top five that I chose were top lightsaber fights, and I did use some pretty strict criteria here that I feel like I need to explain first. So because this is about lightsaber fights and not lightsaber slaughters, alas, the Darth Vader scene from Rogue One where he kills a bunch of rebels in cold blood, while very cool and well done, does not count for this part. One of my other favorite lightsaber moments in all of Star Wars is the scene in The Last Jedi where Rey and Kylo Ren fight off the Praetorian Guard. It's such a cool, well-done fight scene, and the aesthetic is unparalleled. But I decided it wouldn't count because while Rey and Kylo Ren are using lightsabers, the Praetorian Guard are not using lightsabers, so it's not a true lightsaber duel. Okay, so with those caveats out of the way, just a brief rundown of my top five, and I labored over this, and I'm still not wholly sure I got it right, but I tried my best. Number five, I think Ahsoka versus Darth Vader in Rebels is a very fun fight scene in terms of choreography, but it's more important because of the emotional weight that it has. And in particular, Ahsoka realizing that Darth Vader is Anakin and Anakin is Darth Vader, and seeing that she has truly lost her master, but knowing she won't give up on him. It's a very powerful moment. Number four, also animated, also involving Ahsoka. Ahsoka versus Maul in the Clone Wars, season 7 during the Siege of Mandalore arc. I mean, live action or not, honestly, one of the best choreographed lightsaber fights in all of Star Wars. And they did motion capture for a lot of the fighting, which you can really tell because it just feels so genuine and natural. And the animation is beautiful, and it's just a very emotionally well-conceived scene while also being absolutely visually stunning. Three, Darth Vader versus Luke in The Empire Strikes Back specifically. This was really the first cool lightsaber fight in Star Wars history. So, you know, episode 4 had Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader, but that's, you know, kind of lame because it was 1977. But 1980, they've got it figured out. And it's just a well-choreographed scene, but also carries a lot of emotional weight because it ends with, "No, I am your father." But this is an example of using set really, really well. And it's just a true set piece fight scene in Cloud City. And it's just so well done. Number two and number one, I kept going back and forth, which was my number two and my number one. I eventually landed on number two being Duel of the Fates from Phantom Menace. You will note I refer to it as Duel of the Fates because that is the awesome music that plays in the background, but really it's Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Maul. And I mean, it's the best musical moment in Star Wars, maybe. At least I could have done that top five. That would easily be top five. But also just a very well done fight scene. Again, very good use of a set piece. But my number one has to be Anakin versus Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith. And I ultimately chose this above Duel of the Fates because of the emotional resonance of it. So first of all, it's a really well done, well choreographed scene. Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen worked on it for months, and you can really tell they are just truly the characters in that moment. And they're both such fluid stage fighters that it's really comes across as natural, but they also imbue it with such emotion and the emotional resonance of what is occurring and how it ends with Anakin being burned alive. It's just top notch in terms of pathos, in terms of actual fighting, and is one of the most important moments, I think, in and iconic moments, one of my top moments, you might say, in all of Star Wars. So that is my quick speed run through those top five moments. I also have honorable mentions, but I will only go into them if asked.
This is another thing that reminds me just how few full-on lightsaber duels there are in the original trilogy. I mean, you know, I don't know that there's like a ton more in the prequels, but there's certainly more. There's an appreciable number there. And I got to say, I definitely agree with number one. I think, you know, the Duel of the Fates, like Darth Vader versus Luke, that is a really interesting two and three. And I might personally on my list, I might swap them. I guess it all comes down to like, are you making the list based on like the choreography or the significance for the story or the impact on audiences when they first saw it? I mean, there's so many different factors, and that's why I actually think a top five episode is really fun, is because folks get to hear kind of what is our thought process, what is most important to us when we think about a top moment. But I also want to say I love that you have two Ahsoka duels on here, because I think, first of all, yes, the choreography in that Clone Wars duel is phenomenal, and you can tell that they had some motion capture work there, but also just Ahsoka's growth as a character to the point where she's able to go toe-to-toe with Vader, toe-to-toe with Maul. They do such great work making her a compelling character in a lot of ways, but one of those is her skill with a lightsaber. And Clone Wars and Rebels really had some excellent duels. So I love the representation for Ahsoka on this list.
Yeah, one of... No, you go ahead, Haley.
Oh, I was just going to say I agree. I was like, wait, what? Which one is my favorite? And it's hard to choose, but very much Ahsoka and Maul is like one of my favorites, because it's like we knew how the broader story was going to end, but it was just like, it was so new. I had never imagined that those two would fight, and it was just like kind of fun. And then it's like thinking of it at like from the prism of being a child again. I loved when Yoda and Obi-Wan, was it Count Dooku they were fighting in one of the movies? Was it?
Well, Obi-Wan and Anakin fight Count Dooku in Attack of the Clones, and then Yoda fights Count Dooku.
That's the one whenever Yoda fights in the prequels, I just loved it because my eyes tend to glaze over when it's just like long action sequences. It's the same way with like races and stuff. I talk a big game about pod racing, but it was never my favorite. But like when you have this tiny little guy like bouncing around, like Yoda was just so entertaining to watch. I loved that one. But the other one I want to mention is I loved The Force Awakens, Rey and Finn and Kylo.
Yeah.
I thought the setting was really fun, like in the snow.
It is another really great use of set, and I should have put that on my honorable mentions list. So when considering...
Speaking of honorable mentions, I agree. Can I spoil everyone on one
you
of
can,
your honorable
yes.
mentions? I would say my number one favorite lightsaber fight in all of Star Wars is what you mentioned here, which is Obi-Wan versus Maul in Rebels.
So good.
So good, because it just encapsulates like Maul is just like driven by revenge and anger and bitterness, and then like Obi-Wan is like the embodiment of selflessness at this point. And then, like, just the way that, I won't spoil it for everyone, but the way that it unfolds is just like very poignant. And there's like, you can tell there's no anger or bitterness in Obi-Wan, you know,
there's a serenity there which shows his maturity.
Yeah, it's so good, and one of my favorite emotional moments. But when I was doing these fights and considering what I wanted to include, I tried to include a blend of things that I think are important in fight scenes. I'm a really huge fan of fight scene choreography, And looking at how fight scenes are choreographed, how they're edited. I especially love that with hand-to-hand fight scenes in movies and shows, but also with like sword play and lightsaber duels. So that was a really important element to me in considering this, which is why, although I absolutely adore that fight scene, the Obi-Wan versus Maul part two in Rebels, Rebels viewers will understand why it then would not make the top five fight category. But I also tried to make sure there was a mix of that emotion and the impact. I also really struggled on whether to make Darth Vader versus Luke higher up. But I think the reason I ultimately chose Duel of the Fates to be number two was thinking about in theater impact. Duel of the Fates has the music, and I just think the music plays such an important role in what that scene becomes. So if we were, again, if we were doing most iconic moments, then maybe Darth Vader versus Luke would be number one or number two, but I was trying to take a more holistic look.
Yeah, and in, you know, the thing about Darth Vader versus Luke in The Empire Strikes Back is the lightsaber duel there is really not the most important part of that scene. It's I am your father. I mean, the dueling there is not particularly impressive from a choreography standpoint, and it's not meant to be. If I had to add one to this list, and again, this goes back to like me thinking of this, trying to like ground it in like the themes of Star Wars, I would add Luke versus Kylo Ren from The Last Jedi. Because, and again, the choreography is not supposed to be very impressive, and so it's not very impressive. And like Obi-Wan versus Maul, it's a short duel. But if you look at, like, I guess I would add it based on other elements of the scene, which is like the little clues that Luke isn't really there, the context in the story of him trying to delay Kylo, the resonance with what he said earlier about, like, you think I'm going to go out there and defeat the whole First Order myself. Like, these story things that make it an important fight in the story. It almost, much like the Obi-Wan versus Maul duel, the fact that it's not flashy, the fact that it is a lot of Luke dodging so that Kylo can't figure out right away that he's not really there, and so that is kind of his explanation for not being a master swordsman or showing off his dueling abilities. All of that makes it a great scene to me, and it again goes to show the versatility of lightsaber fights in Star Wars. There are some that I like, Duel of the Fates, for example, is very much, or Anakin versus Obi-Wan, that's the lightsaber choreography. That is the physical stunt work where that is the, and you know, the resonance there. And Anakin versus Obi-Wan has a lot of sort of pathos to it as well, but you're really there for the most part, the lightsaber choreography. This would be a scene where it's a fight, but there's a lot happening under the surface that makes it more than just a fight.
So the thing about the Last Jedi, Luke versus Kylo Ren, I think technically it doesn't meet my criteria of needing to be lightsaber versus lightsaber, because if I recall correctly, Luke is just dodging because he's not actually there. He's not parrying. It's literally he's dodging because he is a psychic.
But he is holding projection. A lightsaber.
He is holding a lightsaber, but it's more for dramatic effect.
Interesting. So the lightsabers have to clash in order for that to be... Okay. Okay.
That is my very, very strict and not at all arbitrary criteria for this.
Okay, well, I guess it's easy to make a top five list when your criteria excludes everything that other people want to put on the list. Well played. Listen, Grace. Well played.
It was so hard to limit it. And a couple other I'll mention from my honorable mentions list, like Vader versus Luke in Return of the Jedi is great. Obi-Wan versus Grievous in Revenge of the Sith, while being very CGI heavy, is really fun and also one of those like childlike wonder moments. I, as a kid, also really loved watching Yoda jump around. I found that very entertaining. So I really needed to narrow it down. And so that's part of why I created these strict criteria for myself, because otherwise we'd be here all night.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, like, the reason I set my criteria from my list as like resonant to like the themes of Star Wars and like, you know, thinking about it as like an interview in universe story is because if I just said like, what are the top five like coolest, most iconic, epic Star Wars moments ever? Number one would obviously be the Mod Parlor from the Book of Boba Fett. And I knew that that wasn't what we wanted to talk about. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We've
talked about it so much. I am actually really excited for Haley's top five.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay. I did romances, but I do have like a special thing to, so my like criteria, except for one instance, is that it has to be like canon or at least obviously a romance. Because obviously there are many, many ships in Star Wars, in the online fan community. Even among the actors themselves who wish that romances had happened, but they did not. And most of my criteria was that the romance had actually happened or started to happen, or at least that one of the people like obviously showed an interest. Anyway, it's chaotic. So number five, Zero the Hutt and Sias Noodles.
Oh my god. Yes! we're already off to the races here.
Yes.
And here's why. I love a romance with lots of twists and turns and drama. And there's truly, in Star Wars, no romance more dramatic than this one. I also love that it shows that love can happen between people who are very different. Mm-hmm. they're truly just like a beautiful couple. anyway, I don't know. I just thought it was fun as a kid. anyway, number four, I would say Hera and Kanan. And I would have put them higher up, but I'm like, I docked points because I was, when I realized that they had like waited to the end of the show to really confirm that it was a romance, like I was frustrated because when I started watching Rebels, I assumed that they were practically a married couple. And I was like, this is perfect. And then like, I realized that no, it's like they were still working towards it and they just didn't really talk about it much. And then suddenly they had a child and they waited until like Kanan was dead for it to like really be confirmed. so yes, I think if they had really committed to the bit, it would be higher up in my list. But I think they are, I don't know, I like both of the characters very much. So a good romance. Number three, Obi-Wan and Satine, because I love a forbidden romance. And they were both like great characters. Obi-Wan, a very noble person. He knew he was breaking the law, but he also did it in like the most gentlemanly way. And also we appreciate a little bit of tragedy in these stories. Number two, and this is where I really broke my own rules, Rey and Finn.
I knew it was going to be Rey and Finn.
Laying out my rules, I knew that you would know. this was supposed to happen. They started to make it happen in the first one. Finn was obviously interested. I just like watching them interact. I had just like the goofiest smile on my face. And like, that's what I look for in a romance. That it's a delight for everyone involved, including me, the viewer. So yes, I wish it had happened. In my heart, it did happen. And maybe it still will in this new movie that's coming out. Number one. Look, it feels like heresy not to do this one, so Han and Leia as the number one. And you know what I appreciate? At first I was mad in The Force Awakens, and then I got older, and I was like, that was really realistic that, like, that they had struggles later on in their life when they went through a lot of suffering. I had to suffer to understand it, but, like, once I did, I was like, that it's good writing, you know? And there's still so much, like, there's still obviously a lot of love there, which was fun to see them, like, as old people acting out. Anyway, I just wanted to do, like, an honorable mention. And there's, like, there's lots of, like, characters in Star Wars that this applies to, but in C.S. Lewis's book about the four loves, he really, like, goes hard about friendship, pointing out that, like, friendship is not really necessary for survival except, like, I don't know, coordinating with people, but, like, friendship where you just, like, delight in, like, hobbies and stuff, it's, like, it's its own special kind of love because, like, they, like, choose each other, you know? There's not, like, lust involved. It's just, like, those people choose to be friends. And I want to read a quote that I just love. He says, "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets. Hence, true friendship is the least jealous of loves." I think he has another quote later about, like, when one of his friends died. He was like, I'll never see my group of friends again the same way that they were when that friend who died was with us. Like, he had this, like, group of friends that was just really sweet. Anyway, all that to say, there are lots of beautiful friendships in Star Wars. And, like, one of those other times I was, like, grinning like an idiot. And, like, some people would say it was romance. I just, like, watching Poe and Finn interact is just so fun. I think, what's his name? Oscar Isaac has said he wishes it was a romance. So ignore me if you fall in that bucket. But it was one of those times where it's like, these people just, like being together. So I did want to give them an honorable mention, even though it was not canon. Yeah, what do you guys think?
At first, I was kind of shocked by you not putting Hera and Kanan higher, because in my opinion, they are one of the most functional relationships in Star Wars. But I think you are right. In that they very annoyingly did not confirm it until the end, specifically to raise the dramatic stakes before he died. But in the first season, she's like calling him dear and love, and it's like, it's pretty established. It's just they did not fully confirm it until the last season.
They just didn't like escalate it.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
And, like, there's one of those subplots where, like, the dad is there and he's, like, nervous.
Yeah.
His dad. And that's part of why I was like, okay, they're, like, already together and he wants to impress him or something.
Pretty much they are already together. They just, I truly think they just made it dramatic because he is about to die and they wanted to make sure we knew. But I think mostly your list is pretty good. I agree that Han and Leia are probably the most iconic. Best kiss in all of Star Wars is Empire Strikes Back and Han and Leia on the ship. It's still like very, very swoon worthy. And I think that you're right too about there being a lot of beautiful friendships in Star Wars and sort of the trio that there is in each of the Star Wars series. Perhaps what I wish you had included is Jar Jar Binks and his girlfriend, whose name I can't remember.
I forgot about her.
It's really an oversight.
Oh, I really should have included it. I really should have.
But Zero the Hutt and what was her name?
Sice Noodles.
Sice Noodle. Oh, I remember her very distinctly.
You know what was the best like artistic decision was his accent.
Yes.
Like, why was he from
Louisiana?
New Orleans?
I honestly think that Zero and Sice Noodles might be some of the wackiest that the Clone Wars ever got. And that's really saying something. It was, and also, frankly, as long as we're talking about the Clone Wars getting wacky, yes, Jar Jar Binks was dating the queen of a planet. I mean, that's Jar Jar Binks is really pulling his weight there. I mean, I don't know that any of us could say that we were dating royalty, at least not literal royalty. But yeah, Jar Jar Binks' girlfriend, I just looked it up, and her name was Julia. And she's
really?
A queen.
Her name is
yep.
Julia?
That's
her name
so
is Julia.
Star Wars.
I know. Sometimes they'll throw in a real name just to see if you're paying attention. No, I think that Jar Jar and Julia... what would their ship name be, by the way? Would we call them Jewel Jewel? Like
Jarlia.
What would we?
Jarlia.
Oh God, that just hurts to say. Oh, that's so bad. I like your list. I think it's a great list, even though it doesn't include the frog couple from The Mandalorian. That's obviously an important one. I would say it comes down ultimately to like what is your criteria? I think Anakin and Padme have to be on any top five list just for the impact on the story. And again, like the sort of the pathos of like what's driving it and how it unfolds. And like, again, not the healthiest relationship, perhaps the most unhealthy live action Star Wars relationship. I don't want to, because I can't remember every wacky thing that happened in Clone Wars, so I'm not including Clone Wars, but live action, probably the most unhealthy. But I think it's got to be on the list. It opens the door for most of what happens in Star Wars.
That doesn't make it like the like It didn't turn out well, though, for Padme.
So, or for Anakin.
Here's what I, like, I had to impose some order on my rules, because before I put that one on my list, I would put Obi-Wan and Padme on my list.
Okay, well.
She should have chosen
that's
Obi-Wan.
That's not canon, though.
It's not.
See,
that's where I had to have rules.
Because I will give you Rey and Finn, because I also wanted that to happen, yeah, so some motivated
same.
Reasoning.
But
I
will not. I will draw the line in the sand.
I didn't put it on the list. It's
and also,
fair.
If we're talking about relationships that ended well, first of all, I don't know that half of these would on be on there. In fact, as I
actually,
think about it,
all of them poorly.
Well, no, Rey and Finn could in the new movie
sure,
go somewhere.
But four out of five.
Okay, spoilers, folks. Can I? Are we past the statute of limitations?
You cannot spoil Sai and Zero for.
But it doesn't end well.
I was trying to think of an excuse. I just don't like the vibes. There's no scientific method here.
That actually was one of my thoughts about your oversights was Anakin and Padme. Because as we've discussed, as a 12-year-old, I thought they were a great relationship. It's probably just because I had a crush on both of them. And they are deeply, deeply unhealthy. But red flag city over in that relationship on both sides.
It's funny if you just think about like other Star Wars relationships that you could even put on this list. Like I was just thinking about Andor, right? I don't think we see a single healthy
random
relationship
girl from Party Planet.
There's Bix and boyfriend whose name was spelled. Yeah, it was Tim. It was Tim with two M's.
Oh, yeah, because that ends well. That ends so well.
What about Mon Mothma and her husband? That
really
healthy, happy relationship.
Well, I are you telling me that you haven't smiled thinking about Dedra and Cyril?
Oh, my gosh. Ah. No.
No.
I will say, though, like, talking about this, I would like to take the chance to complain. There should be more romances to dissect here. There should be. This is like one of the biggest stories in our culture. And you know what drives the culture? The reason that people exist to watch this show and movies is romance. And there's like only like 7 or 8 that we can talk about. So that's my complaint. There should be a lot more romance. One of my aspirational romances that I really thought was going to happen was Fennec and Boba Fett. They would have been on my list, but it didn't happen. Instead, they were just like doofuses all season.
Maybe the mod parlor was setting up, like, because now she's whole again, and so maybe he'll be more interested.
I was waiting for you to bring in the mod parlor somehow.
Actually, this is so Haley has said one, but I would be curious to know, Grace, and I'll do one as well. What is your aspirational Star Wars relationship? If you had a top five, what you want to see, what would be like at the top or near the top of aspirational relationships?
Ezra and Sabine.
You leaned in so close for that.
I thought Dave Filoni would hear me better if I said it like that.
Oh, sure. This probably isn't my top aspirational relationship, but it's the only one I can think of right now. You know that episode in season 1 of Mandalorian where they go to that planet and he meets the nice single mom? And they have this cute little relationship and she wants to take his helmet off and he's like, no. And then he goes away. But it's like he could have settled down and raised Grogu.
You're
and,
right. That should have been the end of the show.
Yeah, that it should have ended with episode 4 with him settling down with the nice single mom and her kid on the water planet.
So I was going to say Ezra and Sabine. So I'm just going to say it, even though Haley already said it because Haley already had one. It's just such a crime that they backed away from that in Ahsoka. That being said, there is a season 2. We have heard it's being developed by Dave Filoni. So there's still time, I guess. I would like to see Sabine get back. And it turns out that Ezra has been wearing her clothes and sleeping in her home. I think that that's the beginning of a beautiful romance. So I don't know. That's how I feel. That's just how I feel.
Obi-Wan and Dexter Jetster.
Dexter has... Well, okay, never mind.
When you there's say just that, I just, like, I never made it past that level on the Star Wars, like, Lego. So that's all I can imagine. Did you guys play that game?
No.
Lego Star Wars?
I did not.
Eric, I have a hard time believing you didn't play Lego Star Wars.
I'm not a big gamer. I've heard it's great, though.
Yeah, well, I was, like, stuck on that cafe. It wasn't even, like, you didn't even fight anyone on that level, but I, like, couldn't collect whatever I needed to collect. So Obi-Wan and Dexter Jetster spend a lot of time together.
They sure do.
And Obi-Wan, when he sees Dexter in episode 2, he gives him a pretty genuine smile there.
Talk
that could
about
be more
smiling.
Than just friendship.
Smiling during a relationship. He's all smiles for that.
Yeah, and I like it better than Obi-Wan Padme. I'll say that.
Yeah, honestly, same. Obi-Wan Jango Fett. I'm going to stop now with the trying to pair Obi-Wan with random people.
What were you going to ask, Eric?
Well, I was just going to say, so Obi-Wan Jango Fett reminded me of the, like, classic romance trope, I guess best epitomized for folks of our generation in Harry Potter by Hermione and Draco, of like the people who absolutely should not be together, and one of them is kind of a hero and the other one is very clearly a villain, but people are just like, oh, she wants the bad boy, like I want the bad boy for her, like all the fans are like, so who is that in Star Wars?
Anakin and Padme.
Oh, that
Ren is kind of like definition of evil.
No, you're right. It's Rey and Kylo Ren.
Yeah, of course.
I forgot
course.
About them.
Even as I say it, I'm thinking that's the obvious answer.
Yeah.
They were like MySpace calling each other.
Yeah.
How did people
cast them from my mind. Just like blacked it out that people like them.
I had two thoughts, and they were both related to animated The Clone Wars. Ahsoka and Rex are the same age, first of all.
No.
I also liked that they escaped together. They escaped Order 66 together. So yes, I think maybe they should end up together. That's my hot take. And then secondly, I think we should mention the clone who defected and settled down and had
a
family.
Oh, you're right. That's a great romance.
It ended well, I feel like. I mean, we didn't see the end, but it unfolded well.
No, you're right. He wasn't the stepdad. He was the dad who stepped up.
Incredible. Incredible. Grace just had that ready to go.
Sometimes, you know, lightning strikes.
All right, that's going to do it for us in our top 5 episode here on Hoth Takes. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to share your thoughts about this episode, let us know what we missed, what you were dying to hear us put on our list, and for some reason we just didn't have it there, or suggest topics for future shows, you can email us at hothtakes@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter or X. We are at Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is Grace_Seegers, and Haley is Burdenator. Haley made our wonderful logo and banner art, and I edited the show and put together our music. And as always, for legal reasons, we want to point out that all Star Wars music and sound effects remain the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. If you want to listen to back episodes of Hoth Takes, you can find them on our website. That's hothtakes.wordpress.com. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with a friend. You can find Hoth Takes on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All right, we'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.